Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
For joining us here in Castaday in Limerick, everybody with the Claret and Blue, or if you've got a bit of red and white, if you're of the Man United persuasion, but I think everybody here is here for one reason, and it's for Ireland's greatest ever player, hands down, it's for Paul McGrath. Well, we made it. I think for everybody here, we made it.
Only just.
But I want to thank Paul, first of all, for his amazing time he's given absolutely everybody here. There's 248 people scanned in through the turnstiles, if you want to call it today. And I know we don't usually start with rounds of applause, but I want to get you to give all of yourselves a round of applause for your patience and your time, and also for Paul's time as well. So thank you very much. Also, we're going to do something a small bit different to start off the podcast, Paddy, because usually we leave gifts and things like that into the end, but I think it's very, very fitting. Paul has been doing a wonderful, wonderful campaign over the month of January for Acquire Brain Injury Ireland, and he doesn't know anything about this, but on behalf of the podcast, we'd like to donate €500 in everybody's name here to the podcast, to Paul and to the wonderful Tracy that's down there. All the work you guys do with Acquire Brain Injury Ireland, it's close to all of our hearts, and it's certainly close to Paul's. So thank you so, so much to everybody who came today and for everybody who gets involved in any charities out there, specifically Acquire Brain Injury Ireland. So, Paul, how are you?
Not too bad. Yeah, I'm doing good.
Good. Excellent.
Behaving myself anyway.
Ah, that's okay. Yeah. I could ask the same question to the man over there and he might give me a different answer. But Paul, like as I said, thank you so much for coming here today. And I think everybody here is probably, well, they're beside themselves if you're like me. I'm sorry, I'm a small bit emotional. I'm going to be really honest here because I'm going to I said I wasn't going to get into this, but I know some of you have heard my origin story, but this man sitting here beside me is my idol. He's the man who got me following football, playing football, following Aston Villa. And I've told everyone, anyone who listens to the podcast knows the story of me sitting at home watching a game, Villa versus Crystal Palace, and a defender stood out. And It's actually a funny one because we might have something that I think might have actually even happened in that game as well that I didn't know about. Defender stood out, and then I saw him playing for Ireland again on Wednesday. And after that, my heart was set in stone. Aston Villa was my team. So, Paul, I want to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving me the gift of Aston Villa and the gift of football. And also, I love Paul so much, I even changed my curry sauce from McDonald's to Chef Curry Sauce as well. So we're influenced.
They'd be glad to hear that.
But Paul, I mentioned there as well that you're obviously an idol for an awful lot of people in Ireland and an awful lot of people that are here today. And I wanted to ask you a question to start off. Who was your sporting idol and who was the person that you wanted to follow into the game of football?
Pele.
Pele?
Yeah.
You wanted to stop him. You said, this guy's scoring too many goals.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he was my first hero.
Yeah.
And Peter Osgood as well. He was another one from Chelsea, 1970. Yeah. He was a great goal scorer. And I thought, I'm sure I could score goals like he does. But that never happened, obviously. And but Chelsea was the first team that I fell in love with back in, I hate saying this, 1970. So,
okay.
So yeah, but a long, long time ago.
Not long. No, it's not. It's not at all. I'm sure.
Oh, yes, it is. It is.
The big question now, Paul, is when Chelsea play Villa. What's the carrot and blue persuasion?
Oh, it's Villa now. No. It's definitely Villa now. Villa took over, to be honest.
You did score your fair share of goals.
Well, I wouldn't say I was, up there with some of the other lads that were scoring the goals, even at our defenders. Derek Mountfield, I think, scored loads of goals. He was brilliant to play.
He'd have had like a bullet, hadn't he?
Oh, but to be fair, him and Kent, when I first went there and him and Kent Nielsen were there, it was just, they were brilliant to play alongside because I just let them head everything. And I was just saying, get that one. You should get that one. you're able to get that one. Go on, go get it.
So you were the decoy runner, was it?
Well, I was just the lad who just told them what to do and just sat back and relaxed and enjoyed it, enjoyed the games. But there were fabulous players to play alongside. And Ron, or I think it was Ron, had us... it was Graham.
Graham Taylor.
Graham Taylor had us, just working things out between ourselves back then. So, and I worked out that I'd be in the middle of curve. And they would do a lot of the work. That's the way that worked out.
Work smarter, not harder, Paul. Work smarter, not harder. That's I'm a big fan of that motto, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm conscious we won't have much time with you, Paul, so I just wanted to ask you, of the period you spent with Aston Villa, what were your favourite season, say?
Well, we got a lot of Liverpool players at once, a couple of stages, and I just thought it was brilliant because I think Dean Saunders came down. Dalian came from Sheffield Wednesday. Was it Sheffield Wednesday he came from? And Dean Saunders came from Liverpool as well. So Liverpool kind of just were so good to us.
That was when Graeme Souness decided he didn't want any Irishmen. Was it? He sent them all down to us.
Well, honestly, that's what it seemed like. Because the players we were getting in back then were just brilliant. They were all hilarious as well. They were all funny. No, they were. They were just funny people. But great to have in a squad.
Yeah.
And as soon as they came down, the squad kind of just took off. Because we had Cass then come up from, is that Chelsea as well?
Millwall.
Oh, Jesus Christ, shouldn't have took off. Should not have took Cass. It's
all making sense now, isn't it?
No, he was brilliant as well. And they were the sorts of people we got in. A lot of, London lads. But they were loving the chance of playing for Ireland. And they assimilated very quickly. And we just banded as a group of players and drinkers, I have to say, and it worked, it worked for a long time.
By God, it worked, because when you came along in 1985 into the Ireland team, it was a huge transition was about to happen.
Yeah, but I wasn't one of the real drinkers or anything like that, but did I get away with it? No, but. It was a great bunch of lads to work with, and as I said, we eventually gelled into a really, really good team, and we still had Liam Brady and people like that who were actually brilliant footballers. And they made it. They made everything tick.
I want to take you back to a little journey that actually started in Limerick. Ireland were due to play Austria on a Wednesday night, and you left Limerick on the Monday or the Tuesday to head up to have some fish and chips. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I did. I don't know if we...
Do you remember eating the fish and chips?
No, I don't know whether we ever got the fish and chips, but we intended to get fish and chips and all this sort of thing, but I think we were tricked into this thing of having as much as we could eat with the fish and chips, and that kind of ruined us for the actual match, which we might have lost. Did we lose that one?
I think it was a draw, wasn't it? Which effectively ended
it. That's not too bad. It's not too bad on fish and chips, I'll tell you.
But also, there's someone here, and if you like, you make your way up here, wants to tell you a little story about that time you were in Limerick. I can't find her, can I?
She's there. Jesus.
Neil doesn't. This is Neil's good friend, Anne, and she told this story yesterday, and I said, I'm going to get you up on stage to tell this story.
I am.
Don't worry. It's all right.
Go easy.
You don't have to worry. No, I suppose it's just a story about as we all know, what a good person Paul actually is. Because you were down at a camp in UL a few years ago. Well, probably about 30 years ago now. But
yeah. I remember.
But my dad brought myself and my two brothers to the camp, and my mission was to meet Paul. So, but you were leaving training early because Paul McGrath doesn't have to train as long as everybody else. But I had brought my book, and I was very disappointed that I didn't get to meet you. So we were in the car afterwards. My dad had a job to do, and he had, if you remember the old mobile phones, they're like a brick, basically. But I just got an idea into my head, and I was like, well, if he left, he must be gone back to the hotel. So I got my dad's mobile phone, rang directory inquiries, rang the hotel.
It gets better.
I'm sorry, I'm impersonated somebody. I may have impersonated somebody to get through to your room. We won't go there. And then
this is getting...
Yeah, but in fairness... But when I got through to the room, my two brothers were in the car. They were like, they couldn't believe what I was after doing. But the thing is that Paul, straight away, I said, I'm not who I said I was, whatever. I thought he was going to hang up on me, but he didn't. He talked to me for about 5 minutes. He was very kind. I was doing my leaving cert the next day, so I think I was a little bit distracted. So you're the reason I didn't get on well in the back. Well, yeah, that's my claim to fame.
I'm quite good at maths.
Pity I didn't know that, Paul. Oh, but no, and he signed my book. My man brought the book in the next day, and you signed it and everything. And you know, it was just such a kind thing to do. So thank you,
lovely.
Paul.
Lovely. No, thank you, and thanks for the story,
Paul. She was way too nervous to tell you that she actually impersonated your wife on the phone to get through to
you. Oh my lord.
Yeah. So not only did Anne have some kind words to say about Paul, but Paul, there's a couple of people that gave us a couple of things. Actually, I'm going to bring you over here if you don't mind, Paul, after so that people can see the screen here. But so just going to play this little video here. We've got some people who, when they found out that we were interviewing you, they said, "Look, we can't have this go without us getting involved some way, shape, or form."
Hi, Sean Teal here. Paul's former centre half partner at Aston Villa for 4 years, 91 to 95. Bit about Paul. As most people know, very quiet, very friendly, but totally the opposite on the football pitch. So Paul had this thing he used to do when he was going for headers, where he'd literally, as he was about to jump, he'd roar like a lion. And I think it just put centre forwards off, and they sort of were half looking for Paul coming clattering through him. Meanwhile, he was well above him, heading the ball. One of the funniest things I ever saw was Paul getting really angry on a pitch. We were playing Sheffield Wednesday, actually, Mark Bright was the centre forward, and Mark had elbowed Paul just on the edge of our box, and Paul was furious, and Paul was hell bent on running down at that point and literally ripping him to pieces. So I went over to Paul and just said, "Listen, don't panic. We'll get him back. Plenty of time." Well, within 5 minutes, I'd gone for a header with Mark Bright, and it's in that on top of his head. His head burst open, and the claret was going everywhere. And Paul just looked at me, wink of the eye, nod of the head, as if to say, "Job done. Cheers, mate." Physio's room to get his eye stitched, and he walked through the door, and guess who sat on the other bed? And you guessed it, Mark Bright. It's in Paul's face, it was a picture. Hope this is what you're looking for. Paul, great lad, great partner, and great friend.
Go on, Sean, and,
Paul, listen, it's been a long, long time since I've seen you, but I'm hoping that you have a great time on the podcast with the guys. I'm sure they'll look after you. You're a top, top guy and utter, utter legend to myself and many a Villa fan. And I was so lucky to play with you. But listen, have a great time, have a great show. Love you lots, mate.
Go on, Ian.
Thank you. I hope you're well. It's Brian Little here, of course. Just want to say thank you to you for those very special couple of years we worked together, and especially for the 95-96 season where, of course, we finished fourth in the Premier League, got to the semi-final of the FA Cup, and of course won the League Cup, which is represented by that little picture behind me. But it was a pleasure and an honour to have worked alongside you, and just want to say thanks for everything. God bless. Take care.
I remember me, mate, from the days when I was a local reporter in the Midlands and you were playing for Villa. It was an absolute pleasure to interview you. It was even more of a pleasure to watch you perform. There was miracles out on the pitch, mate. Always admire you. Brilliant. But the highlight for me, Paul, actually, was when we were at Bodymore Heath one day and you walked across to me and asked me if I would like this very shirt, your training top, the number 5. Which was surplus to requirement because Villa had changed their shirt sponsors, and so you kindly gave it to me. It's one that I've cherished ever since, mate, and always will do. Who was the best player I ever saw in my 39 seasons covering top flight football. There were some good ones, there were some very good ones, and there were some not some good ones. But as far as I was concerned, the best was only one, Paul McGrath.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We weren't telling lies. There's a lot of people there with a lot of love for you. A lot of people there. But what I wanted to ask Paul was, how true is Sean Teal's story? Should we...
he
He's a liar. I wouldn't listen to Sean at all if I was you. Tibble for telling lies. Sean was a brilliant player to play alongside, you know, but we struck up a really good partnership, you know. I did most of the work, and then he just cleaned up behind me. No, he was brilliant. Sean was a really good player. He came to the game, I think, a little bit late, but Jesus, he was a hard footballer to get round and stuff like that. And he was just built like, I can't say that. He was built like a footballer.
Okay.
He was built like a footballer, and he was good at it. He was really, really good at it. But he didn't come into the game till late, so. But again, as I said, we struck up a great partnership and the whole back four. And we prided ourselves on not maybe giving too many goals away. I'm sure you're going to find, you'll show me another video.
No, videos are done. You're okay.
Six or seven flying in. But that's what we wanted to do. We thought if we can keep it down to one or two a game, then we'd have a chance of winning the league. So that's what we tried to do.
And you mentioned Sean Teale there. You mentioned that you struck up a great partnership. You had quite a lot of defensive partners at Aston Villa. Who would you say, you don't have to offend anyone, I suppose, really, but who would be the best, I suppose?
Sean would definitely be up there.
But
Derek Mountfield and Ken, when I first went there, they're the two people I signed with. Hmm. And Kent Nielsen was frightening, like, he in a tackle. Ooh, you know, I'd be the other side of the pitch in training, you know, when we were training together, because he was unbelievable. And then you had Derek Mountfield, who scored so many goals as well. So I was very lucky with a lot of the defenders that I struck up a relationship with, because they were a football relationship with.
Yeah.
Because they were really, really good defenders. And it was brilliant when you do that, because then you know you've got a great chance. If you're not letting in the goals, all the glory hunters, I call them, up the front, they can do whatever they want. Yeah. And we'll take care. If they lose the ball, we'll win it back for them. Yeah. And stuff like that.
And you played with somebody who's no longer with us anymore, Hugo Ehiog. And I heard you speak about your partnership with him and with Gareth Southgate as well. Talk to us a small bit about that time of your career too.
Yeah. Hugo was frightening. Like, you know, he was one of the quickest runners. He was hard in the challenge as well, but he was only a kid as well when I was leaving, and he had a huge future ahead of him. But then you get news like he's not well and all this sort of stuff, and it's it'd rock you to the core, because yeah. he was a special footballer, and he was a brilliant footballer as well. So and. Those sorts of things very rarely happen in football, but to Hugo, it was doubly devastating for me, because he was just a friend, a really good friend as well. So, but things like that, I suppose, happen in life more often probably now, with some of the governments we have in charge of us.
Paul, we're sorry for surprising you with those videos. I know you came to Limerick and Eamon Andrews is no longer with us, and you weren't expecting this as our life today.
Yeah. No, that was lovely. It's always lovely to see the lads.
I'm going to rob this question, because I'm going to ask you about my favourite footballer. And if this podcast had been named by me, I would have called it For the Love of Steve Staunton, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah. So how was he?
I didn't like him. Stan was a one-off. Honestly, Stan, when whoever made Stan a footballer broke the mold, because he did just a left foot like no other.
The wand.
Unbelievable. I wouldn't have said he was the greatest in a challenge and stuff like that. But he wasn't afraid of a tackle either, though. You know, so he was a brilliant footballer. Mm-hmm. And as I said, left foot. Him and Kevin Sheedy, I think, would have been my two. Of course, Liam Bray. No, hang on. Wait, the whole Irish team. Did they all have left foots? My left foot. I do think Stevie saw me. He used to take free kicks and put them in the top corner. I mean, who does that?
Yeah. Well,
quite a few players. Yeah. But we were blessed at that stage of the Irish team that we had loads of players who were actually very skillful players, and they were tough boys as well. Yeah. So. And Stan was definitely, so you picked a really good, a lad to boast about.
Well,
so boast on.
We've got to be thankful for him, because otherwise I was a Liverpool fan, so he brought me to Aston Villa. So.
Yeah, there was more Liverpool transfers than you thought, Paul.
Oh, hang on.
But talking to a few of the guys that come in, and we all know that the age profile of the Villa fan is of a particular age. And we're incredibly thankful for what Graeme Souness did and for what Ron Atkinson did and let you go. And to have that period where we had yourself, Staunton, Houghton, Townsend, it was incredible. And it's like, when you look around the room here, I'm sure you'd see people nodding heads and going, that's why we're Villa fans. So we're incredibly lucky that you did it when we did.
I think we couldn't believe that we were getting some of these lads from Liverpool, and they were walking in, Dean Saunders and Andy, not on Andy Townsend, Ray and Stan, and we're looking at them and going, what do you mean they're coming to our club and they played for Liverpool 2 weeks ago, like, and they were all just coming to our club and playing brilliantly then. And of course, every time then we played Liverpool, they'd play really brilliantly. And so we'd even beat them. So it was a crazy time in football, though, that some players like the likes of Steve Saunton would be let go by a club because he was a very, very proficient player.
Yeah.
You know? Paul, we're speaking an awful lot about Ireland there and about Irish football as well. And look, I think a lot of people here of a certain vintage might remember a certain tournament in the United States in and around 1994. And I wanted to ask you about what I think everybody here will agree is probably the most iconic performance by any footballer of all time. And, Paul, I want to know, what was it like playing beside Tommy Coyne when he ran himself into the ground against Mexico, Paul? What was
it? Shock.
It's okay, lads. We asked Paul to empty his pockets before he came in, and Beppe Signori is up in a room upstairs, because we're obviously talking about the Giant Stadium in 1994 against Italy. For me, I still regularly watch the highlights of that game and go, what a game. Talk to us, Paul. It's a game of high repute, not only just in Irish football, but spoken about all around the world. It's one of the best defensive performances of all time.
I don't know about that. It was the Italians had knocked, I don't know what you know, they knocked us out, I think, of the cup before the
World 1990,
before
yeah.
The 1990.
Scilacci.
So we actually just, oh dear now. But we owed them one. That's the way we felt. We didn't think, well, that they're just the Italians, they're brilliant, they're absolutely superb. We just wanted to give them one back. So that's the way we played the game, you know. And before the game, I think we went out in the same outfits. I mean, that's like just like something we do. And then we had to go back in. But we were able to relax when we went back in to change into the green and white. And I just think it all worked out.
I think, Paul, you're being really humble here, because it was a bloody good performance.
Oh, no, I was magnificent. I honestly think some of the kids played not bad either. There was all over the pitch. I think we wanted to play that day, and we really wanted to beat them simply. Mm. And this is true as God, simply because they had beaten us. They'd knocked us out in the quarterfinals, and we wanted to give them one back. Mm. Simple as that. Simple as that.
The one thing that gets overlooked about that performance, Paul, is I'll take you back 3 months earlier. When you woke up on the morning of the cup final, and your shoulder wouldn't work. And you had a virus in your shoulder, which continued right up to USA 94. So you not alone played that game under severe pain against Manchester United in 1994, and then went on to play in the same pain against Italy in the Giant Stadium. It's absolutely incredible what you did.
Yeah, but I was obviously I'm wanting to play, like, you know, but I did have to get a few injections up and down my shoulders before both those games. You know, Manchester United, I think we played in Wembley, and that was the first time that had happened, that I'd sat up all night, and I was crying all night, seriously, and I don't usually cry, not even to my physio, Jim Walker, but I was just sitting up all night crying, and I didn't know whether I'd be able to play the game. And then Ron just said, give him injections, but they were injecting, right up my shoulder and right up my back as well, so, and it was just going numb. So it's looking in my head, you know, they didn't catch my brain.
You were still able to head the ball. But that game in particular must have been a special one for you to go and stop Man United winning the treble that year.
Oh, I was, yeah, of course it did. But I was just wandering around the pitch thinking, when is this arm going to work, like, sort of thing. And it didn't work. It just came with me. but it was great because I think Ron played... Steve Fenton, was it?
Graham Fenton.
Graham Fenton. Graham, sorry, Jesus, Graham.
I mix him up with Steve Froggatt all the time.
Steve Froggatt. but when the young kids come in, you and he did so well, like, but to put him in a game like that where Giggs and Cantona and Robbo and everyone else are running around, that takes a lot of guts, because a young lad can get a little bit overwhelmed when something like that happens. But I think he just went around charging at people and trying to kick people and stuff like that, which seemed like a good idea. But we were very lucky on that day as well, just to get by and obviously win the game. So we're delighted again.
Do you treasure those medals, or do you even look at them, or are they locked away somewhere?
I'd say most of my kids have stolen them at this time. No, they haven't. That's a joke. No. My kids, my kids would have one or two that I've handed to them, you know, because they'd know what to do better than I would. I'd swap one for a pint. No, I could be liable to do that. No, they're for my children and stuff like that, but I do have them and stuff like that, so I don't intend to give them to anyone, only my children.
I'm conscious that we're keeping you way too long at this stage. Yeah. But to come into this room and with 90% Irish people here, it would be mad of us not to ask you about Jack Charlton.
Yeah, about Big Jack,
just a great man, you know. Just a nice person.
Is it true, Paul, that he called you James for like 6 months after he first joined the Irish team?
Yeah, he did. You know, but obviously he didn't know a few of the Irish lads, actually. So he just, for a certain amount of time, he did call me James. But he was a brilliant man to bring in, because he had that aura about him that whatever he said you were supposed to be doing, it had to get done. And sometimes I used to just jump on a plane and maybe end up in Israel or something, just for the laugh of it, just to do something different and see would I be able to come back, would. You know, and I didn't mean it out of badness or anything like that. I just thought, I wonder what would happen if I just did this. And to be fair to Jack, I genuinely loved the man, so I wasn't doing it just to be a devil. I was doing it to get away from everything. So, because I wasn't ever brilliant at speaking to people or talking when there's too many around me and stuff like that. So, it was my way of just saying, feck it, I don't need this. And then Jack used to always say, you can come back and you won't be playing the next game and stuff like that. He was always really decent to me. So, I love the man. I love the man. And I think all our players do.
And I think, Paul, that's a very fitting way to, I suppose, really wrap a bow around this, around the podcast tonight. Paul, you've given us so much time. You've given us so much memories in the past. For me, this is a bucket list moment, absolutely ticked off. And it would never have happened only for you agreeing to come here today, and I really appreciate that. And I think on behalf of everybody here, I think to say thank you for everything. Just thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
So everybody, you want to give it up again for Mr. Paul McGrath?
We just bring up the house lights there, please.
Do you know the way in the movies you have to wait until the trailers are finished for a little bit extra after? Well, we did forget something slightly here. Paul, we wanted to give you a little bit of something to remember today by, and we wanted to give you this fantastic tankard from Kevin Barry Crystal. It's adorned with our podcast logo, which you may or may not like, but also the Aston Villa crest and the word God on the tankard. So thank you so much. And a pair of socks from Six Soccer down there as well. Aston Villa socks. I actually forgot mine today. I'm not going to pull up my trousers and show you my hairy legs, but I forgot them today. But Paul, you'll, for when you're walking, for your next walking challenge, you have a fantastic pair of socks. Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much, everyone. So very, very, very last thing, actually. I forget my head if it wasn't screwed on. We have something to give away to you guys. We have something to give away to you guys here, and I'm going to make the long trip around. Actually, do you know what, Paul? If you have 2 seconds, you can help me. Just to pick out winners so that I'm not accused of nepotism or anything like that. For everybody here in the audience, we have... Yeah. And if anybody's holding the ticket number 11, turn it the right way around so you don't get confused. So, Paul, I want you to tell me when to stop. I'm not going to look. I've got a list of everybody's names here, and I want you to tell me when to stop. Is there Stephen Kiley in the house? Stephen has won a signed Paul McGrath Ireland jersey. Paddy, this time, Paddy, you tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Where's Kurt Wilson? I saw him, he came in there earlier on. Where's Kurt Wilson? Kurt, you have won yourself a signed Paul McGrath print from the wonderful Homebird Irish Design, homebird.ie. A fantastic signed print. Wherever Kurt is, I can get it down to you. I saw you there a while ago. Excellent. There we go. Excellent. I'll get it down to you in a minute, Kurt. So, I know a team sheet has been announced at some stage, guys. We forget about it. There is no team sheet tantrum. We're going to enjoy this game, and we're going to enjoy beating the tar out of Sheffield United. Up the Villa!
Podcast Network.